The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Good morning, Dave Doval. How are you this morning?
Good, friend.
Good, good. Is Levi with us?
He is.
Yes, oh, sir. Sorry, I cut you off, Levi.
Hey, no worries.
Welcome. Say hey.
Hey, I'm Levi with Charlotte Comfort Systems. Good to be here. Glad to be with you guys.
Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm a little off of my regular cadence because we've got an extra guest this morning. And we're going to go right there because we're just dealing with time. And our guest this morning is one of our Home Depot store managers. It's French Ratliff. French is out of our Raleigh, North Carolina store. French, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Everything is good here. Everything is good in the Carolinas. Thanks for joining us. We wanted to kind of get you on board. I know you've got limited time. I understand that game. It may have changed a little bit in 20 years. I don't know. It's been 20 years since I managed a district. But I think there's probably a lot going on. But we wanted to get you on. We've been talking about all kinds of different stuff. I mean, David and I talk about Home Depot products. And I thought it would be good, since you're down there in the trenches, just to get your take on some stuff. It's spring. We've had some crazy weather. What's going on? I mean, what are you hearing in the trenches? And I've got some specific questions about, like, some products maybe you could share. But as a general rule, what are people diving into this spring?
So this spring, as you said, the weather has been crazy. But it's been some really, really good highlights and some good peaks into what's to come. We do have a great ad broke this week, and we are looking forward to springing. today marks the first Saturday of our Spring Black Friday event, and so a lot of great deals out there. I will tell you, right now, people have mostly been getting ready, getting prepared, and it's several different classes in which we've seen, you know, folks coming in to get prepared, and it starts around, you know, the outside of the house with the lawn, with flowers, flower beds, things of that nature, and then inside the house with cleaning, you know. So we look forward to that being the initial, but, you know, several deals happening right now that are going to really prove to be big for spring coming up.
Well, I did my own personal duty yesterday at the store here in Roswell with a 3-page list from HomeDepot.com. And I went and I just put it all on will call and said, I'll come after it little by little. But, hey, I want to ask a question about a couple products. We're going to do a Home Depot product of the week. And, David, I'm kind of going down on a different path because we usually get into some heavy-duty stuff for that. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's got to do with cleaning. But big, big conversations about cordless tools. When David and I talk about Black Friday, in like normal Black Friday after Thanksgiving, we spend a lot of time talking about power tools and all the great deals for accessories, and it's the time to buy. And then y'all have put the spring Black Friday thing together, and it's pretty cool. But the brushless, like, what are people saying? Are they buying the Ryobi walk behind, you know, so great battery power, electric? What are they saying?
Ryobi is a great brand. We've been, you know, with Ryobi, partners with Ryobi for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And they have cornered the market, you might as well say, in battery-powered homeowner tools, right?
They've done pretty well.
Right. And so with as many batteries as they've had on the market, 18-volt, their 18-volt platform is the number one platform out there on the market. Well, some years back, they introduced an outdoor power line that was really to compete with the gas-powered equipment that was on the market. And so we started into the 40-volt platform, which really took off. And over the years, they have done a lot of innovation to get that platform really competitive with your gas-powered units. And so now the most current model that they have are what they call a whisper drive.
Yeah.
The whisper drive is really all about giving that gas performance without that gas sound, right?
Okay.
Without that loud, obnoxious noise that you get, you know, first thing in the morning on a Saturday, your neighbor's over there cutting the yard. And so,
yeah, I'm that neighbor.
To be able to deliver that type of power, 70-minute run times, you know, just as long, if not longer, than you get with a tank of gas on your gas unit, and the same type of power with those brushless motors, they're able to deliver it quietly. And that's really an added plus when it comes to, you know, the things that we're facing today.
It sounds like it's a popular product and folks are into it. I was less interested in the whisper part of it and more interested in what you said about it's the power, the same power as a gasoline engine, right? Because if you think about, I heard a statistic somewhere that, you know, the amount of the carbon footprint of a gas lawnmower is significant. I mean, by comparison to even much, much larger automobiles and stuff like that. So, as long as it does the same thing, man, I think that's pretty good. What about, I know I'm trying to watch our time here, but I'm also interested in, like it's time to get outside and, David and I don't spend a lot of time talking about, like turf treatments and gardening and stuff like that. Cause honestly, we're kind of old lumber guys. And so, we're not real spanky in that department. What are people doing? Like, let's just say you want to have some color. Needs to look nice, but you don't want to have to think about it every 15 minutes. Any suggestions there?
So if we're speaking yard in particular, lawns, you know, over the past month up into now, perfect time to start getting your lawn ready for the season. In our area, there's a couple of main grasses that you'd see. Actually happen to be in Raleigh-Durham. So here, you know, fescue and Bermuda tend to be two of your main grasses that you're going to see.
Yeah.
And in preparation, you want to make sure you take care of your pre-emergence first, right?
So is it too late to do that?
And all of those weeds that are starting to peek their heads up now, you can actually get in front of that and put some products down to kill it. We offer a Scotts product, a pre-emergent product that kills crabgrass as well. It has the Halts product in it. And then we also have something called the Triple Action by Scotts that happens to be on ad right now that can come with the Ultra Feed to help feed the lawn but get rid of the weeds and prevent the weeds. So you're doing three things all in one. Now, in conjunction with that, overseeding is a plus. You definitely want to, in this case, if you have Bermuda is one of those grasses you don't want to feed until it gets green. So if you happen to have Bermuda, you want to make sure that you start feeding it coming up at the end of this month, beginning of next month. Definitely use Halts to prevent the weeds from coming up or some sort of herbicide. But it's important to go ahead and get fertilizer down now. A lot of people don't know fertilizing should happen 4 times a year for your lawn. If you want it to stay nice and healthy, get those real deep greens, you want to start fertilizing now, and you want to do it in every season. There's a Scotts product available in each one for each one of those seasons, winter, fall, summer, and spring.
Cool. So I know we need to skedaddle, but I'll tell you that I ditched my lawn service probably about 4 years ago. I just stopped paying for it, and I do the 4 times a year thing with the Scotts. I just went, you know, to the website and pulled it down, and I do whatever they tell me each of the 4 times, and it's a lot less money. Sorry if you're out there in the landscaping business. There's plenty of us who will still pay you to do all kinds of other things, but I did it that way. So, all right. Is anything before we rock out of here, French, that you want to make sure we know?
Well, like I said, this weekend kicks off our Spring Black Friday ad. We are really excited about some of the great deals that we have. Our 5-for-10 mulch is going right now through Scott's.
Yep.
And that tends to be something that drives folks in the building. But you get to check out our new Ecolab products, which happens to be new and exclusive to Home Depot. We've got 29 products available through Ecolab. Ecolab is a commercial brand.
Yeah, I know those
but
guys.
Has agreed to come to Home Depot and turn into one of those main consumer brands that we have here in the store. So we're excited about that product and offers a solution that gives a more robust and more effective product to the homeowner. So a couple of things that we're excited about as well would be the plants that we have going on right now. We've got 3-for-10 on some of our annual products, as well as 3-for-12 on our Bonnie products, which would be your edible, like herbs and vegetables. Those are big out in the live goods community right now. Everybody wants to get, you know, their raised garden bed going and their vegetables grown at home. So we have those available as well. So please, if you have more questions, reach back out to me. I'm glad you all gave me this opportunity today, and I wish everybody a great weekend.
Hey, French, thank you so much. I actually have two or three other things, and I'll just hit them on them in the course of the show because I actually feel halfway competent talking about them. And so we'll go over some of that stuff. David and I talk about those things almost every week in some fashion or another. So thank you so much. Get out there. Take care of those customers. The war is on the floor, and go get it.
Thank you all so much. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, French. Have a great one.
All right.
All right, we ran long on that because I wanted to pack a bunch of stuff in so French could get back and take care of customers. So we're going to take our break, and we'll be back to answer home improvement questions at 704-570-1110 right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dolville.
And I'm Levi Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Levi, thanks for being with us. David, we didn't get a chance to chat. We went right to French. That boy sounds like he has got a lot going on.
Yes.
Yikes. There is a lot of stuff, though. I made a list yesterday. Don't tell my boss, but I went ahead and finished up a little early. And it was 3 pages on the website, you know, just picking the SKU that I wanted and all this junk. And to be ready for all the outside stuff, it's got to happen. It's just like, man. There's a lot. We're going to talk a couple things, but Levi, thanks for being with us. We did a lot of HVAC stuff last week, just because we're like creatures of habit, and it was a second Saturday, and so we just did it. Have you heard? Is Zeke okay? Is he? Have you heard anything on his health?
Yeah, he's doing better. He's out of the hospital, and I think he's improving. So yeah, he's getting there.
All right, lots of prayers going up for Zeke.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thanks for coming in this week. There were some things last week though that came up, Levi, and I didn't want to opine on them necessarily because it would be an opinion, informed maybe, but not quite at the expert level that I thought it might want it should be. So I thought we could talk about that a little bit. And by the way, folks, we're at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're talking HVAC again. We'll talk about whatever's important to you, but we've got experts in the house. We take advantage of that. What I always ask, just because it feels like there's always something going on, is with the EPA. I know that in 2023, the SEER ratings, in fact, I even changed, I think, the name of SEER. The minimum SEER is up in what is it 16 now that what is the minimum SEER rating?
Correct. Levi? For AC is 16 SEER now.
And SEER is typically for AC, right? I think it's seasonal energy efficiency rating, and now there's a new letter in there, maybe, I can't remember.
Yeah, so they went from SEER to SEER 2 is the new rating.
And what's the tricky part about SEER 2?
It's just an updated version of it that uses like a blowing testing procedure now.
Okay.
Not much difference for the consumer, just a different number.
Okay, and so you got to be at 16 SEER. Then what about the refrigerant? The last we spoke, there was great debate about whether the refrigerant would change again, which feels like a major headache. But is there any news on that front?
I haven't heard anything since we talked about it last, but we're still turning in that direction. I think the EPA is going to do away with 410 as well. But I haven't heard exactly what the new refrigerant is going to be.
Yeah, we've heard everything. And so that was the reason I didn't want to offer an opinion on it. Just because I wasn't exactly sure, right? And then I'm half serious, half tongue in cheek when I ask this question. But like in the state of California, I guess it's going to be illegal to sell natural gas cooktops and ovens. At what point in time does natural gas heat go away?
Hopefully never. You know, if once you have natural gas heat and you go from that to a heat pump, you get used to the, you know, 130 to 140 degree discharge temps that you're getting from a gas furnace. You know, you turn your gas furnace on and you feel that instant heat.
Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't make its way to our state.
Yeah, my experience is comfort has nothing to do with it except for your dad. He likes to talk about comfort, Charlotte Comfort Systems. He's right. Mm-hmm. David, one of the things that people talk about, like with, I'm a heat pump fan. Actually, I think the best thing to have, and we're going to have to take a break here. Maybe we'll talk about that when we come back, because I did not touch this at all last week, and we're out of the heating season. But when we're thinking about making cooling system changes, a dual fuel system might be absolutely the best way to go. But we're going to run out of time, so we'll go ahead and take our break. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We've got Levi Shelton in with us this morning from Charlotte Comfort Systems. We're still talking HVAC, but we'll talk about any question you got at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Grab a cup of coffee, grab your questions, because we're going to be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dovall.
And I'm Levi Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Levi, thanks for being with us. Before we take our dive back into some HVAC topics and the idea of replacement systems and dual fuel and stuff, I want to do our Home Depot product of the week. And I'm going out on a limb here, taking a lead from our brother, French Ratliff, up there in North Carolina. The cleaning, it's cleaning time. And, you know, we get the pollen off, all that stuff. But I found this stuff. And literally stuff. It's called, here's our marketing wizards, high at work, called the pink stuff. Miracle cleaning paste, miracle cleaning spray. I always get nervous when I hear that. I checked it out. I confess, I bought some. I own it, which is why I can speak about it. David, the thing that got me, they show a, you know how the inside of an oven door just gets funk on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cleans it off.
The residue does, takes it right off.
Boom. I'm like, and then I thought, okay, like it's super abrasive, but no, there's a spray cleaner. So grout, your gas grill, your oven door, your tires and wheels, your grandma's dentures. No, that's not true. But everything.
Don't say that.
I know. That was terrible. I don't want people to take me too seriously. Not that they do. Anyway, and the investment, ladies and gentlemen, is $5.97. That's it. I'm going out there. Our product of the week is the Pink Stuff Miracle Cleaner Paste or Spray. Check it out. Tell me what you think. Don't put it on your dentures. All right, David. Oh no, Levi. We were bothering you. So we opined, or I just sarcastically, like, when are they going to get rid of natural gas? Because our electric grid is so strengthy. You said hopefully never. I agree. But one of the challenges that people have had with natural gas is like, okay, your thermostat says, okay, we need hot, So, boom, it kicks this, you know, gas-fired furnace on, and out comes. What did you say the temperature was when it comes out the register for gas heat?
Well, the gas furnace, usually between 120 and 140 degrees.
So, pretty warm. Mm-hmm. So, it comes out, heats up the room, and then it goes off. And so it's always been like, well, hey, you kind of got this comfort range, right, where you're comfortable for a little while, and then it gets a little chilly, and then it kicks on, and then you might be a little warm, and then you're comfortable. David, you have the variable speeds and fans and blowers and all that stuff. That doesn't happen in your world, does it?
It does not. The furnace is very, very regulated. That's why we were talking that we had our first bill over $75.
Yikes.
I know. I was shocked, but it was cold, you know, in December when we had that snap, and we had a couple of bills December and January that were just a little over $75. But, you know, I attribute that to those furnaces are so efficient.
Yeah.
They just ramp up and they give you what you need and really no more is kind of really the idea of it.
So Levi, I feel like, you know, seriously, we kid your dad a lot about, you know, hey, it's all about the comfort. It's about the comfort. How comfortable are you, especially with humidity? We're going to get into that here in a second. But it really does take away the argument that, that, you know, you kind of cycle super hot, cool, super hot with a gas-fired furnace. It's just not true, is it?
Not always. No, you have variable stages now of heat. So these new furnaces, you have basic single stage furnaces, which everyone's accustomed to, and then you have a two stage, and now they have a modulating, which, you know, has 65 stages of heating. Yikes. And a variable speed fan. So when you combine those together, you don't get that loud noise with your furnace coming on and that instant heat. It kind of builds it up over time. So There's no loud noises or anything like that, and it's a smooth transition.
What about so let's go where we went right before the last break. So I like the idea of a heat pump. The challenge is always like when you really want to have that blast of warmer air, or you want to heat it up faster than 2 degrees at a time, you're kicking in the auxiliary heat, and that gets expensive. And if you live in a world where electricity is provided by fossil fuel, You're really not doing anything for the carbon footprint, I don't think. I mean, I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. But when to keep that from happening, you can do the dual fuel system, right? Talk about that for a second.
So a dual fuel, that's going to be, you'll have a gas furnace on the inside, and then you have a heat pump on the outside. And so when it's milder temperatures outside, obviously you're going to utilize that heat pump and then save money on gas. When it's warmer outside in the 40s and 50s, a heat pump's going to be much more efficient than a gas furnace, just in terms of cost of running it.
Yes.
So then you have that dual benefit. When it's really cold outside, if you want that instant heat, you could always kick on the auxiliary heat and get that gas heat at the same time.
And you're not like just incurring the national debt with an electric and your electric bill. All right. And I think, I don't know, I just like the idea of modulating like at 63 different phases. It feels to me like that actually is the most energy efficient way to think about the world. But again, I'm not the brightest light. So I will get off of that piece of it. We're going to hit another break here. When we come back from the break, if we could, Levi, just talk a little bit about not necessarily the refrigerant changes, but some of the things we see, like refrigerant leaks, not enough refrigerant, and sometimes overcharging. If we can talk a little bit about that, that would be awesome. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We're going to take our break, folks. 704-570-1110. We've got the expert in the house. Call with any questions you got. We're going to be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Levi Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Thanks, Levi. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. I'm drawing a total blank on what we said we wanted to get on right after the break here. We were talking about the dual fuel. Refrigerant. There's when you think about your system, your cooling system is not performing, right? So you call the tech out, and the temperature, the air coming out of the register is below spec or above spec, I guess, in that case. What should the temperature ranges be coming out of your duct if your cooling system is working right, Levi?
So if your cooling system is working well, we usually look for an 18 to 20 degree split. So that's the difference between your return intake and then the air coming out of your supply vent. So let's say you have it, 72 degrees in the home. We look for around a 50 to 52 degree discharge air.
Okay. So then it's coming out warmer. It feels warm. We don't necessarily have all the measurements. Is it a refrigerant leak or how do you know if you've got a refrigerant leak?
So a lot of times when you have a refrigerant leak, if it's gotten to the point where the unit will start to freeze up, that's how it's noticed a lot of times, is either that evaporator coil will freeze completely, and once it freezes completely, that blower can't pass air through that coil. So you either get just a tiny, tiny bit of cold air, or if it's bad enough, you get no air at all.
Okay, so it's actually counterintuitive. If that thing freezes up, you think it blows hotter than if it's not frozen, because it can't cool.
Well, when it's low on refrigerant and it's beginning to freeze up, then you're still getting cool air. But once it freezes completely, you can't move air across that coil. So then usually when you get the phone call.
You get nothing. All right. So what about? I remember I worked for a little while with some pretty large multifamily companies, apartment complexes, and they would have situations where techs who may not have been trained as best as they could have or should have would just presume that anytime something wasn't working, it just needed refrigerant, and they would pump additional refrigerant. There's such a thing as overcharging a line too, isn't there?
Absolutely.
How do you know when that's happening?
When it's overcharged, so you'll get really high discharge temps outside. And when you overcharge it, you can actually flood too much liquid into that compressor. So you can have some compressor issues, compressor failure that comes along with that, as well as that delta T would typically be lower when you're overcharged. So you wouldn't be getting the coldest air out of your registers.
And the delta T is that difference between the warm air going into the return and the cold air coming out.
Correct.
Got it. All right. So I guess maybe it begs the question. Last week I spent almost a segment just going through, I think there were like five or six reasons that I thought you should get, you should have a service agreement with a reputable company. It feels like that might be one of them, right? So just getting somebody out there and say, hey, at the price of refrigerant, you don't want to just be pumping it in if somebody's going to have to come and pull it back out again, because they charge you when it goes in, but I don't think they credit you when it comes out, do they?
No, they don't.
So I'm not. So I just think that's it. What's the other stuff? If somebody says, hey, and I got a couple other questions here I want to get to, but just while we're on this topic, What are other reasons that someone calls and says, hey, my system is not putting cold air out?
Dirty filters is another big same concept as when if you're low on refrigerant and your coil iced up and you can't move air across that coil. If you can't, if your filters are really dirty and you haven't changed your filters in a while, same thing. Those filters back up, and then you can't pull the return air through the blower. And then that can also cause your coil to ice up. When you can't move air across that coil, then that coil will start to freeze up as well. So dirty filters is another one. Batteries in your thermostat, that's a big one. So if you have a thermostat that doesn't have a common wire, you want to make sure you keep your batteries changed.
Here's one that this is telling on myself. Actually, I have a condensate pump in the basement, and I cleaned it out in the fall, because those things get like, oof, that's an interesting biology experiment inside of one of those. It was gross, and I typically don't get bothered by that stuff. Anyway, my condensate pump pooped out last week, and I have the little overflow protection because it's in the basement, right? So it can't just flow out the eave. And it shut my system down, thankfully, because if it was just going to overflow and not shut down, then I'd have had condensate everywhere in the basement.
So you'd have new carpet.
Yeah, exactly. thankfully, I didn't have to do that. It shut it down. But again, that was just one more thing. We talk about all this stuff, and until it happens to you or you don't realize, what do you guys do from when it's condensate regarding making sure the condensate lines aren't an issue during a regular inspection?
So one of the best things you can do for the health of your drain is, and if your system was installed up to code, then you've got a trap on your drain, a P-trap.
Yes.
One of the best things to do is every year, you could do it once or twice a year, is to pour just a little bit of bleach down in that P-trap. And if you have something like a little brush or something that you can fit down in there, just kind of clear that trap and let that bleach run down into your condensate pump, and that'll kind of keep any buildup from accumulating that you won't try to force out that line.
Okay, and then is that something you guys would do on a...
Yeah, that's something we do on a regular tune-up.
Okay, all right. And then we spent a lot of time on dirty sock syndrome last week, so I don't think we need to go there.
Did you talk about the outdoor coils?
No, we didn't. I had a list about some do's and don'ts for the outdoor coils. Go there, David, because that's where people
this
get
was,
in trouble, right?
And Levi can, I know you've seen this 100 times, but when I finished my house after construction, and we were living there, but we put in a pool, we were doing some grading. Of course, the wind comes around the house.
Yeah.
The first time we cleaned the coil after the pool was in and everything was kind of done, it looked like a mudslide coming out of that unit, and I was just sick because I was like, it's my fault, I did that, and I didn't even realize how much was in there. And then the following year was cottonwood,
mm-hmm.
and we cleaned the system. Yeah, we cleaned it a little bit late, but it looked like a harvest day in a cotton field is what it looked like coming out of that unit. So that's real. It was almost like putting a blanket over that thing, and that's not helping the efficiency, is it?
Not at all.
Yeah,
not at all.
So right there, those things, just those things with pollen and everything falling, that stuff is, if that unit's running, it's going to pull it through, and it's going to stick to those coils, right?
That's right. So yeah, cleaning your condenser coil is another huge thing, and that's something that any reputable company would do during your AC maintenance tune-up, is giving that condenser coil a good cleaning, because like I said, same concept as the dirty filters or the dirty evaporator coil. That outdoor unit is expelling that air to cool down that refrigerant. And if you can't pull air across that coil, then it's going to cause issues as well.
Right. So that was the other thing that that John and I talk about often is leaving that area around that unit, because there's certain parameters that you guys have to follow for distance away from the house, above, below, around, beside. But my big thing, what I always recommend to people is to lay down some landscape fabric around it and put some gravel. And, the joke is, if you like your HVAC guy, you use pea gravel, and if you don't like them, you use marble chips. So it's good for the knees, right?
Provide a little kneeling pad. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, so that's good advice. And then the other piece I think that we talk about with that is the weed eater around the charge lines and stuff like that, making sure you're not just eating up the.
And that prevents that. That keeps you away from that unit, and it ensures if you can put a foot or two around that unit of gravel, it stays pretty clean. Mm-hmm. And even water and whatnot splashing is not as big a deal when you do that, and it's really not that expensive to do it.
Exactly. You know? And some homes you have more issues with the condenser coils being dirty. Homes that have wooded home sites, things of that nature, more trees. Naturally, those coils tend to get more dirty than a home in a newer neighborhood where there's not a lot of trees, things like that. They don't get dirty as quickly.
Right.
Got it. Well, we're gonna have to take a break here, but it's a great segue to what I'd like to talk about next, and that is air quality and filtration, because a couple questions came up last week. I shared my opinion, and I just want to make sure we get the benefit of your thinking on as well. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110. So if you got a question, give us a call. We'll talk more on more home improvement when we return from these important messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We are in hour number two, and I am John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Levi Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And we're taking your calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a shout. We'll talk about what's important to you. Levi, if we could, air quality. We talked a little bit about it last week. Questions were coming in as far as like, I forget the caller's name, but she was like, what's the, two things actually came up. One is we talked about we think the best kind of filtration solution is the one that goes, that handles the entire system, goes right next to the air handler as all the duct, you know, the main duct from everywhere feeds into it. And then she said, well, what if I do that, what kind of filter should I put in my all the old returns? And we said nothing, right? You just let it roll.
Right. Yeah. So you don't want a double filter. So that's one of the biggest things nowadays is, you know, going away from individual return filters to a whole home filtration system. And I mean, as far as what you can do for your air quality, that's the easiest, best thing that you could do is to install a whole home filtration system for a variety of reasons. One, you don't have to change the filters at the individual returns. And a lot of times, you know, that's what leads to some air quality issues is, you know, I don't have a ladder or, you know, I just didn't get around to changing them. When you have right. three or four around the home and you need to change them every month, you know, it's a bit taxing. So it, you know, you may forget to do it or, you know, just let it slip on to the next month. When you have a, you know, 5-inch filter under the home, you only have to change it, you know, every 6 months to once a year.
Right.
And you can have it done during your annual maintenance. So it's, you know, it's something that you can forget about, and it's going to provide better filtration.
Mm-hmm. And it's easier on the system, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that was the thing that we wanted to make sure. And so then the question was like, well, what's the, like, how high a MERV rating should I put in? And if you go online and look, I think it says low is 8 and high is like 16 or something like that. But mm-hmm. I seem to remember you guys talking about maybe somewhere in the middle of that was actually more optimal because too high a MERV rating restricts airflow.
Yeah, so they have a, for the 5-inch filters that we use, they've got a MERV 11 and then a MERV 16. The MERV 11 is what a majority of our customers use. Just, you know, it's cheaper and it has a little bit more longevity. But like you said, it allows more airflow through that filter. It's not going to remove as many particulates as that, you know, MERV 16 filter, but it does much better than what you would have as a individual return filter, little 1-inch filter.
Yeah, and so I think that's what I said was 11, and I was just looking at online also like what fell in the middle, but I think for the most part, so would you agree that if you've got if you have like a sensitivity to allergens and things like that, rather than upping the MERV rating on the filters and running the risk of straining the system, then you really start thinking about independent air filtration or what's the best alternative there?
Yeah, so air quality is just a booming market nowadays, with everybody being more conscious about what they're breathing in and their health. There's so many things you could do from UV lights. That's one of the most common UV lights that kill, you know, bacteria, things that cause smells in your home. And then a thing that some of the things that have come out recently are what we call air scrubbers, and they use ion technology to clean your air. You need someone that's very qualified to tell you exactly how it works, but we just know that it does through studies, and they have ones that, you know, can kill the COVID virus and take care of the particulates in your home. And those are easily installed. That's something you can do, you know, after a system installation, you could come in and do it, you know, with effective to cost.
Okay, so so that's a better solution than trying to just really jack up, or I shouldn't say jack up, crank up the well, could jack it up, crank up the MERV rating on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. If you're conscious about air quality and you want to make sure that the air that you're breathing is healthy for you and your family, then there's certainly lots of options other than just increasing the MERV rating on your filter.
Okay. All right. That's good information. So when we talk about air quality, there was something that you guys, that I heard a lot of conversations around it, and we're going to come up against the break here. Maybe we'll just go ahead and take our break. Maybe when we come back, could we talk a little bit about cold plasma technology? Because I mentioned it last week, but I didn't get into it when we were talking about dirty sock syndrome. And I know it was pretty popular when COVID was the rage, because it actually did, it was effective against coronavirus things. So maybe we can come back after the break and talk about that particular piece of it. And then, folks, we're going to talk about whatever is important to you. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're talking HVAC right now, but we'll talk about any home improvement question that you've got when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Levi Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Levi Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems. Give us an address, or an email address, or a website address, I guess. The third is a charm. Website address and phone number, please.
Yeah, charlottecomfortsystems.com, 704-366-1661.
Awesome. Let's jump to cold plasma technology. There was some conversations last week about UV lights and stuff like that. But first, I remember that there was a lot of advertising and a lot of traction for cold plasma technology, which wasn't like this new thing. It's been around a while, but it got a whole new batch of attention when the coronavirus, you know, the COVID thing was raging. What is it? Is it expensive? How's it work? Do you recommend it?
It's not overly expensive. Yeah, we sell a product called Phenomenal Air, which uses cold plasma generation, and it's very effective in killing, you know, germs, viruses. So what it does is it creates like an electric field with ions, and then when your air runs through those ions remove, you know, bacteria, pollutants that cause, you know, bacteria, viruses. Smoke, odors, stuff like that, VOCs.
So it's almost like the charged or electromagnetic. It's not electromagnetic, but it's like, because the ions are a negative charge, and then anything that passes through clings to them. Am I remembering that right?
Yes, sir. Yep, that's a good.
So it's not like chemicals or tricky stuff like that. It's pretty
basic.
No,
it doesn't create any ozone or anything like that. It just creates an ion field, and that's what removes the pollutants and the VOCs.
And do you think what in your opinion, what's the most effective way to clean the air?
The most effective way,
yeah,
probably either that cold plasma technology or a UV light, or like a pure air system,
okay,
where you have a combination of a high efficiency filter and then a secondary air cleaner as well.
Would you, between UV and cold plasma, what do you think? I know I'm putting you on the spot, so I mean, but if you say it depends on the scenario, I guess nobody's losing their mind over that. But what do you, between those two, what would you say?
Probably UV. I would say is much more common. And more often installed.
Yeah. Okay. But you have to change those bulbs out, right?
You do. You have to change them, you know, on a yearly basis.
Because they'll be on still, but they won't be doing their deal. Is that?
Yeah. A lot of times they'll burn out, or if you haven't serviced it. So, like the Linux makes a pure air system, which is a combination of a high efficiency 5-inch filter, and then the UV technology, and you have a yearly maintenance kit for that. So you change the bulb and the filter every year.
Okay. All right. And then I think that's the deal. I don't remember whether they had a caller or why we spent so much time last week on dirty sock syndrome, but it feels like we did. I think that's like the big piece that I wanted on the air quality thing. David, when you buttoned up your house, I mean, it's pretty tight, right? What are you doing to make sure that, like, you're not just like having stale air or,
well, we put three sets of French doors that go out to the pool. And usually I adjust those up and can tighten those up in the weather strips through adjustments and through jumbo weather strips and wedges. And I didn't do that. I said, I'm going to let a little bit of air come in. Now, Gina gets on me because the west wind passes those doors all the time, so they whistle. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like having music on all the time. It's fine.
And she buys that.
No, not even a little bit. But I also, when we were building the house up high, I put a fresh air intake and I ducted it over towards the furnace. And we're going to, the idea eventually was to put a damper on that and filter it. It's pre-filter and dump that into the return. So that we could adjust that damper, we could have a little bit or a lot or none. Like during the pollen season, I could turn that completely off.
Sure.
And not allow that into. And we were just preparing. I have not used it. I have not uncapped it. We haven't ducted it to the furnace. It's fine. We don't notice anything. And you know, John, that I monitor temperature and humidity in the attic, the crawl spaces, and all of that. So I could see what's going on in the house, under the house, and above the house. And I think if we do those things, we're in pretty good shape. And then we go in and out enough that I think we change the air over in the house pretty regular. And I'm pretty bad about going out and not pulling the door all the way closed too. So that's the other thing. But you know, you can kind of tell when we go away for a week or 10 days and we come home. The air is a little stale in the house. Sure. So, but we have an opportunity at any point in time to add something to the furnace, to that system upstairs if we choose to do that.
And then you sprayed your attic too, right? It's all spray foam.
It is foamed, and that's why we monitor the humidity, up there. As a matter of fact, I've been having some humidity bounce, and I've been getting up to 70%. And the only thing we can come up with that's changed is we think that the attic has finally just gotten saturated, and it doesn't take much for it to bump up. So now I'm going to probably go up. I'm going to put a dehumidifier in to try to bring that down some and control it, try to get it dry. It's not wet, dripping, or anything.
Right, right. But it's higher than you want it to be.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure,
higher than I want it to be. And then I think the other thing that we had talked about when the system was installed was going ahead and adding a small register for on the return side, and then we're going to add a small register on the supply side, and I'm going to start conditioning the attic. Yeah. But the first thing I'm going to do is go up and dry it out and get it down to a more desirable humidity level.
All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, I think what happened was that we were in that between season that I know you guys in the HVAC business suffer. Is when you're not using heat, you're not really using air conditioning. And we've had a pretty long spell of that here, John. I don't know about what it's like in Atlanta, but...
Same, because I haven't had to put my... I've got the condensate pump sitting upstairs, and I haven't put it in yet.
Right, yeah. So, and I think that's what's happened is we've gotten enough humidity just from us cooking and breathing, and we have no insulation in the ceiling, so I think it goes right through with no problem, and I think we're just
right.
I think we're saturated is what I think is going on. So
yep. That makes
sense.
And
you know, we use our fans. You know, you were at our house. I put timer switches on all of our exhaust fans in the bathroom so that they run for 60 minutes after you get out of the shower, and so on and so forth. So we try to control the humidity. I'm trying to do that at that level, but it's, you know, it's not enough.
Yeah, I get it. So I know we're going to get close to a break here, but so when you put a you're going to move a dehumidifier up into the attic,
mm-hmm.
are you just going to go up there and empty the reservoir, or are you going
to
pump it
to the condensation line?
So you're just going to push it out the condensation line?
Yeah, because most of the dehumidifiers today have pumps on them.
Yeah,
so it'll mm-hmm. it'll pump it, and I'll just set it up another another trap away from the furnace, and just pump it in there.
So I have a question, Levi. If I put, I have a dehumidifier down in the section of my basement that is where the furnace and everything is, and that area is not conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I run a dehumidifier down there pretty much during the summer, keep it around 50%. And it has a pump on it. I've been emptying it out. I haven't activated the pump. Can I just push that over into my line and let it go into the condensate pump and let it pump out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's going to pump a bunch over, I guess, at first, because it pumps it at a certain point. It just moves it all out, I guess, right?
Yeah, so you just want to make sure most of these dehumidifiers are going to have a filter on them. You just want to keep that filter clean so that water isn't getting, dust or contaminants in it that would clog up that condensate
okay.
pump. But, yeah, absolutely, yeah. You could run it into the pump.
Yeah, because that's what they used before they had pumps built into them.
Right.
They were just buying a condensation pump and using them in the crawl space.
Mm-hmm. And then pushing it out.
Well, yeah. What you do is you just lift it to a height where gravity can take over.
Right.
And then let it drain. And yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, we're probably about a minute away from a break. We're going to go ahead and take a break, folks. We're at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about HVAC, or we'll talk about whatever home improvement question you got. Well, you can also go to AskJohnAndDave.com and click on the questions button, or send us a note directly to questions@AskJohnAndDave.com. Got to spell out "and." And we can help that way. So all ways that we want to help get good information to you, our beloved listeners. So we're going to sneak away for a break. Grab a cup of coffee, grab your questions, and we'll be back to talk more home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Levi Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Levi, thanks for being with us. Before we jump right back into our conversations around heating, cooling, and air conditioning, I want to put out a note on our Home Depot product of the week. And we had a great call with French Ratliff from our Raleigh store this morning. He had a whole bunch of stuff going on. But one of the things that I was looking at, and all the different things that, at the different links he was talking about, is a product called Miracle Cleaning Paste. It's called the Pink Stuff. High-tech terminology here. The Pink Stuff, Miracle Cleaning Paste. I was like, okay, I bought it. I actually bought this probably about a year ago now when it first came out, because I was like, I've got some brass and things like that I wanted to check it out on, and it was fine for that. But if David, I was blown away by the, our Barb is a neat freak, so the oven that we have, stays clean. But you know how an oven door just gets all that splash and stuff on it, and then it gets baked on. It's really hard to get that off. Like Windex and stuff doesn't take that off. You can get razor blades and stuff like that. This stuff, it's pink stuff. It like wipes clean. There's a paste, which I think probably has some abrasives in it, but there's also a spray version. So the nice thing also, so check it out, but think about this. Grout. Your gas grill, the grills on your gas grill. I talked about the oven door. Tires and wheels. Does anybody have white walls anymore? but it works. And so, and the investment is monumental. $5.97. So if it doesn't do what you want it to do, I guess you haven't lost your
That stuff's been around a long time too.
Has it? I thought it was new.
Mm-mm.
No, I had never seen it until about a year ago.
I use it to clean my golf shoes.
So that's another thing on here. Levi shows sneakers and stuff.
Yeah, it works well.
Well, there you go. What do I know? Anyway, that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week this week. The pink stuff, paste or spray. All right. Wow, where were we?
Well, you were talking about we were talking about, and you said the heating, the HVAC, and then you said heating and air conditioning, and I always think that people forget about what the V stands
right.
for, which is ventilation.
Yes.
And it's ventilation has to do with, of course, all your vents, anything with the exhaust fans in bathrooms, the exhaust over your stoves, which we're going to talk about that just a little bit because we were talking about gas stoves. And then you have your dryer ducts. That falls under the HVAC.
Right.
And then, of course, intake air. So if you need fresh air, if you want to put an energy recovery ventilation system in, that falls underneath the ventilation portion as well, right?
Correct.
So we John, you had hit on that earlier. I don't know if you were if you had that on your list to talk about ventilation, but when we talk about eliminating some of these states that talking about eliminating the gas stoves.
Yes.
I understand some of the reasoning behind it because we've tightened up our homes to the point that it's an issue, but they've actually already solved that problem with the ventilation portion. Anything over 399 CFMs, cubic feet per minute on a ventilation fan, you have to have makeup air.
Right.
And that's a big deal. You guys deal with it a lot, right? Right.
Yeah, we do makeup air on mostly almost all remodels that we do. Anything over a 6-inch vent for a hood is going to have to use a makeup air.
Right.
So what exactly does that mean?
So when you turn your hood on in your kitchen, obviously you're pulling air out of that kitchen. So a makeup air is just it's a damper that's connected to a pressure switch. So when you turn on that hood, it senses the pressure coming through that hood, and then it opens that damper. And it's basically just a 8-inch damper on average, or a 10-inch damper. And once that damper opens, it's just letting fresh air into the home. So that way, air that you're taking out, you're adding.
Right. So it runs in conjunction with the fan. And what Levi and I were talking about at one of the breaks earlier was that it would be easy for them to put a heat sensor on the fan, so the fan would come on automatically when the stove comes on. Now, what we've done is we're automatically ventilating, and they need to change the rules, which I've said long before this stuff ever came up about getting rid of gas stoves, because don't get me started on that. But if all of our stoves need to be ventilated to the outside. Why would you want to dump that heat and moisture back in the house? It doesn't make sense. I mean, I know why they do it, because it's more expensive to ventilate to an outside, either the attic or to an outside wall. But there was a lot of things that they didn't do. They didn't used to make them zone air conditioning systems or HVAC systems, or make you have one for each floor, because the builders could get away with just one unit.
Yeah.
Guess what? You're getting one unit. So I think the same thing, you know, I don't think that we need to go to the extremes of getting rid of gas stoves. What we need to do is get smart and say, hey, there is maybe some issues with some fumes, so why don't we just change the code and say, look, we're gonna ventilate this to the outside, and we're gonna make these fans automatic when they sense heat. It's just a better thing to do. I mean,
I agree.
We have plenty of it. And gas, I'm sorry, but I've said this before, I'll say it again. If we can put a gas fired heater in a room and it doesn't have to be ventilated, we really don't have a problem, I don't think.
Right.
So, anyway, there's my two cents.
Well, they're not
on
talking about getting rid of fireplaces, are they? So,
well, I mean, if they get rid of natural gas, they're going to get rid of all of it. So,
a lot of houses in California with fireplaces, I assume.
Right. Well, but you get rid of natural gas, but we're going to start making your new refrigerant out of a propane-based.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the ideas.
I got it. There you go. Aren't we about ready for a break?
Oh, man, you can't make it. Woo! We are ready for a break. We just snuck past a break. Look, you got to be good stewards of the environment, but you also got to be common sense. And there's good ways to do things. We'll get this figured out. We will.
Mm-hmm.
All the extremities, everything gravitates to the mean. We'll get it figured out. I'm totally confident in that. All right, 704-570-1110. We're going to take a little break, get your questions ready, and we'll be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave right after this. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Levi Shelton with Charlotte Comfort System.
And we are in the lightning round. So give us a call if you got a question around heating, cooling, ventilation, or air conditioning. We have, man, committed the sin of common sense in our last segment, so we apologize profusely. But there's a lot of good stuff. There's look, American technology is still awesome. There's ingenuity. We'll solve this problem without, you know, going nutso.
Well, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I think some good things can come from the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, which is what we talked about. Let's remember, we wouldn't be talking about these different types of air cleaners and the things that you could put in your ductwork if we had not gone ahead and air sealed our homes,
yeah.
Better windows, better doors, all of that, which is the ventilation stuff came out because of that, right? So right. Adding a makeup air to anything over 400 CFMs, cubic feet per minute, is the reason that they had to introduce these systems, because they were, if you put a 600 cubic foot per minute ventilation fan over your stove and you run it for an hour, well, they say it'll empty the house of the conditioned air in what, 20 minutes,
something like that.
You can do the math on it, but so that's why they started introducing outdoor air, and because our houses are too tight.
Yeah,
John, remember when we first started doing this show, and people would talk about the condensation that would build up on their windows, and they never had that before. Well, then we start talking to them. Well, it was an older home. It didn't have insulation in the crawl space. It had leaky windows and doors. Well, over time, they changed that, and now all of a sudden, you've got all this moist air trapped in the house because it used to just ventilate right on out. Would come in, and it would go out the attic. And
so
now it doesn't.
So here's, let's go even farther back. And this, Levi, this predates your birth. There was this product called Thermax Tough R, high R foil faced sheathing that in the 80s and 90s, well, we still put it on houses. It's not as popular. There's better solutions now, but polyisocyanurate. And we put it on houses because we were all worried about energy costs. And do you remember that there was a blue plastic corrugated strip called Tough R vent strip, and you had to install that at the bottom, at the base plate, the bottom plate. You had to staple it to the outside of your bottom plate to create an air gap between the bottom of the Tough R insulation and the cavity of the house, because when you put the high R sheathing on it and you taped it the way you were supposed to, it made the house too tight.
Right.
It became a structural problem. So, we've learned tons and tons and tons. The only thing that is frustrating is we really need to count on our manufacturers. And as a general rule, they are rock stars. But you really need to count on our manufacturers to do all that testing and stuff. R&D needs to happen, you know, in the lab, not in the field. As in, like, hey, we put the product out there and now we discover we need to do something. But sometimes there's just some unintended consequences.
Things happen. We've gotten rid of the vapor barrier in the walls.
Right.
Because the houses are so tight that they were condensating in the walls and causing mold and mildew. So, I'm sorry, growth. Fungal growth.
Yeah, growth.
You can't discoloration.
Can't say mold until you test it.
That's right.
Even though we all know it's mold.
I don't know. I'm dubious.
Yeah, there you go.
So Levi, what's like thinking on your mind? We've tackled everything in my tiny little brain. Stuff that you want to make sure folks are thinking about this time of year. Any quick things you want to pop out there?
Yeah. So this time of year, this is a great time of year to do, you know, a maintenance on your AC system, just to cover everything that we've already gone over. You know, making sure that your filters are clean, that your condenser coil is clean, your evaporator coil is clear. Make sure those drains are clear. You don't want to have, you know. Right now, you're not producing a lot of water when you're running your AC system, simply because it's not, you know, it's not too hot outside and it's not too humid. But you know, anybody that's lived in Charlotte for a few years knows that's going to change here very shortly. And in the summertime, when it's 95 degrees outside and 80% humidity, you're removing a lot of water from that unit. So you want to make sure that drains clear, especially, you know, if you have a system that's in your attic, which, you know, most of us do. Last thing you want is for that drain to back up and have an issue. And a lot of us have a secondary switch on our system that'll, you know, alert us when we're having a drainage issue, but not everybody does. So you just want to make sure that your drains are clear, and it's just a good time to be proactive before it gets nice and hot.
I would say, I mean, you tell me, but I would say it's almost imperative, and I'm surprised that it's not code in certain places, that you would have that cutoff switch. If, you know, the minute it senses water in that pan, that it shuts it down. Because if you're overhead and it's building up in the pan, how many gallons of water a day does it in a peak cooling season gets pulled out of the average house?
On these newer high efficiency units, you can pull out, you know, 20 to 40 gallons of water a day.
So 40 gallons of water, that's just 10 gallons less than a 50 gallon aquarium.
Yeah.
Wow, you are a freaking
genius. I am a math wizard. Come on, hang with me here, bro.
I'm with you, and I know where you're going.
Just try and give some perspective.
Well, think about that, and what do we say about where it's dripping? Where do you put that water? And if you're dumping that outside your foundation,
that's another good point.
That needs to be moved away from the house as far as you can get it. And a dry well, we talk about, is the obvious way to do it. You need to be able to see that water's dripping, by the way. But you can have what's called an air gap, or some distance between that pipe and a larger pipe. Run that out in the yard, and you can dig a hole, put some landscape fabric down in that hole, fill it full of gravel, put the landscape fabric back over it. Of course, that pipe that you've run away from your condensation line from the house is in that hole. Cover it back up and grow your grass over it. But if you get out 10 feet from the house, which happens to be just about the length of a piece of corrugated, black corrugated pipe, is perfect. And now you've moved that water away from the foundation. It's going to spread out in that yard because it has a larger area to move to. And you can head off of what could turn into a major problem.
Right.
Could be that could be the cause of a $10,000 or $20,000 repair in your foundation because of condensation that's leak or dripping out right by the foundation. So,
yep.
Not to scare anybody, but that's just the truth.
Not to scare anybody. Here, we got a couple minutes left here. Let's get Howard. Howard, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Fine. I have a question regarding having a house built with a local builder. Not custom made, but regular subdivision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our preference was to have the outside HVAC condenser placed on one side of the house because we felt it was cooler there, plus a noise factor.
Mm-hmm.
They put the wiring on the side that we didn't want it, on the, what we consider the warmer side,
mm-hmm.
and putting it next to our what will be the master bedroom. What factors does a HVAC company usually use in determining where the condenser should be?
Well, a lot of times it's up to the contractor and, you know, the plans on the home as to where they want to put the condenser. Obviously, you know.
Closest to the panel.
Yeah, absolutely. Indirect sunlight's not, you know, ideal, but these units nowadays, they're efficient and they're made for that. So it's not going to.
Right.
It's not going to change the, you know, the way that your unit works. You know, maybe an issue for you as an eyesore, or like you said, with it being outside your master bedroom window, that may not be something that you guys want to hear. So if it's possible and they have access to the other side of that home, then I'm sure they could move it for you.
Yeah, they put the wiring in yet. I don't think the outside unit is in, but they seem pretty reluctant in changing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that. Hopefully they get you a quiet unit.
Yeah, you can be adamant about it. They may do it for you.
Okay.
Well, hey, Howard.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir. Roger and Chris, we see you guys out there, but we are out of time.
Yeah, hang on. I'll get them off the air.
Okay, thank you for that. So, Roger, Chris, don't hang up. David will get you. Folks, we appreciate your being with us this week. Levi, always grateful for the great support you guys give us at Charlotte Comfort Systems. And we love to remind you, we think it's a good idea to remind you each week that we think the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is making your house a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that this week. And don't forget that 40 gallons of condensate is only 10 gallons less than a 50-gallon aquarium or 15 gallons less than a 55-gallon drum. Have an awesome week, everybody.